We welcome listeners back to the Poolside Pass Parent Podcast, and welcome listeners to episode 5 of series 2 of the Parent Podcast from the Poolside Pass. These bite-sized podcasts for parents and their swimmers.
Before we begin our topic, just a quick word from our supporters, Streamlined. Become a qualified swimming teacher with Streamlined in as little as 6 days. Learn at your own pace and be guided by our expert tutors. You can do your training face-to-face, online in real-time, or a combination. Assessment can be in your club, using videos, or attending one of our assessment venues. We offer tailored, high-quality support. Quote the Poolside Pass for an extra 10% discount.
A big welcome to our guest today, my fellow director of the Poolside Pass, Jamie Fowler, development coach at the City of Birmingham Swimming Club. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jonathan. Good to speak to you again.
Good to speak to you. Today, our main topic is going to look at the power of sculling. And I think everybody that is involved in coaching and everything else understands that power of sculling and how important it is within the swimming environment. In the beginning of March, Jamie, you did a blog about the power of the feel, the moving of that water in the most efficient way. And perhaps you can just perhaps remind listeners of that blog and perhaps why you believe the power of the feel is so important.
Yeah, so this was actually done a long time ago, before lockdown. And it seems like an absolute age ago, right? Because of how long we spent not at the pool. But I remember one night coaching my youngest group at Birmingham. And I just really wanted to promote good sculling and good feel for the water. Because I think a lot of the time I see swimmers that can't scull. Like swimmers 10, 11, 12 years of age that can't scull because either A, they've never done sculling before, it's not been part of their program, or B, they've not been taught how to do it properly. And so I wanted to, and for me, it's all about feeling the water and having a connection between hand and then the brain. So that, for me, that is what sculling is. It's the connection between the hand and the brain and having that successful and strong and efficient neural pathway for the information to travel up. So we did some sculling in the warm-up and it wasn't that great. And I just decided that we were going to spend the next 30 minutes just really focusing on trying to develop a good feel for the water and make that a little bit better. So I basically wrote off the rest of my session plan and set about trying to think about how we can scull and feel the water better. And I always find these kind of sessions, I always do these sessions, these kind of sessions a lot with my younger swimmers, where I tend to go off plan and just kind of work things out as I go along. I did another blog post on that a couple of years ago now. It's called Discovery Via Doing, and you can find that on our website that we'll shout out at the end of the podcast. But when you just do one thing and think, okay, well, what would then be a progression to help them feel that more and feel that more? And I decided that, well, I actually found that the pressure that you have on your hand that you feel with the water, so feel moving the water and feeling the pressure with the hand, that is a feeling that you can feel. So that means that when you do that, there is a message that goes from your hand to your brain. Okay, so surely the more pressure we feel, the greater the stimulus on the hand, you know, the stronger that pathway between hand and brain is going to become. So I just played around with how we can increase the surface area of the hand to increase the pressure that's felt. And when I say this, we've got to be really careful when we're working with young swimmers. We don't do loads and loads and loads of this, because imagine putting a dinner plate on someone's hand, you know, it's gonna create a lot of stress through the muscle. Okay, so we only did it like a few 25s, but we got those small kind of learned to swim kickboard floats, and we put our hand on top of it and we just started pressing down in the water. And then all of a sudden, you could see in their faces that they were starting to really discover how the moving their hand moves the water, and the feel was starting to develop. So that's kind of where that blog post came from. It came directly from an experience I had during a session, and all around developing those neural pathways.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. Thank you for updating us on that on the blog that was we didn't realize when that blog was produced that we then go into a UK-wide lockdown. Obviously sculling, you know, is about maximizing stroke efficiency and I suppose recovery, and you know, the pitch of the hand you know, gives swimmers that sense of pressure, doesn't it? And I think that pitch of the hands into the water is a bit like a hand acts like a paddle, and you know, the drills that you do will focus, which we'll come on to slightly later, but they will obviously focus on that stroke efficiency maximization and maximizing recovery to prevent fatigue, tension, and eventually poor stroke mechanics.
Yeah, so knowing what the water feels like when you're moving it increases your efficiency, because when you know what the water feels like when you're moving it, you then have a reference point for when something feels wrong. So when you start to slip on the water, or if your hand's not in the right position, then it will feel different. Okay, and I think that's really important to remember, is that having that good knowledge of sculling and that good neural pathway means that when a hand changes its pitch and it's not so efficient, you feel that. Yeah, you feel weaker in the water. So that's really important there for me. I don't know if that answered the question.
No, I've answered it perfectly. And you know, you've talked about the way, you know, which sculling maximizes that surface area for that movement in the water, and that could be for turns, it could be for the catch phase of a stroke, couldn't it? So I mean, really such an important technique for young swimmers to learn, but as you say, in a very controlled environment. I mean, sculling positions, obviously there's many sculling positions. And perhaps you could talk us through some sculling positions, please, Jamie.
Yeah, so I think when I used to swim, this wasn't so long ago, I think maybe like, I don't want to rub this in the face of people, but I think it was only about 4 years ago I stopped swimming. I was 18. So
I won't mention how long it was for me.
That's my one chance I get to say how young I am. So I think, yeah, when I swam, I only really knew feet first sculling on your back, head first sculling on your back. To me, that's what sculling was. And it's only when I started coaching that I really discovered how many different ways there are to scull. Yeah, you can scull. Obviously, you've got the ones I mentioned on your back, head first, feet first. You've then got on your front, arms up in Superman position, okay? You've got hands by your side on your front. You've got hands under your ribs on your front. You've got on your side, on your other side. Yeah, there's so many different ways to scull, okay? So, and we can definitely do another blog on this, because I think a lot of people, when they think sculling, they think, okay, it's a swim down activity. You do two lengths, one length head first on your back, one length feet first on your back. So I think there's so many different ways to scull. And for me, when I coach my swimmers, I always say, well, there's different sculls we do for different strokes that we're working on. So if we're working on freestyle, then we might do a bit more of a catch, like a high elbow catch scull. Yeah. Or we might focus on sculling at the back of the stroke or underneath the ribs, and that kind of through the pull pattern. If we're doing backstroke, then obviously we're going to scull on our back, hands down by our side, focusing on finishing. And then if we're doing breast or fly, then we might scull out, hands in Superman position, just focusing on getting that feel at the front of the stroke. So for me, there's so many different sculling positions, and I think you can change it up based on what stroke you're trying to develop on any given day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we could sit here and talk about the wide scull, or, you know, 60-80-90 for obviously breaststroke, in terms of that, you know, Y-shaped sort of scull. But as you say, there's so many, you know, we'll be doing a blog post to try and provide some visualization for our listeners.
Yeah.
Tips for effective sculling. I mean, you know, there are some really key points, aren't there, for a successful scull?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got 4 bullet points written down here. So I'll try and speak a little bit about the 4. For me, the first one is patience. Okay, a lot of swimmers, especially younger, they don't get bored with sculling. They get frustrated with sculling because they're not moving fast through the water. Okay, so I think as coaches, we've got to be very upfront about it when we do sculling. And we've got to say the aim is not to move fast. Yeah, the aim is to just feel the water.
Yeah? Yes.
Have that connection between you and the water. That's what sculling is for me. So we've got to get swimmers to be more patient when we're doing sculling, because I think I was coaching the other day a group of young swimmers, and I said, okay, we're just going to do 225 scull, just to build that kind of feel with the water. And before you know it, I said, oh, okay, we'll wear snorkels so you don't have to lift your head to breathe, but we'll do it on the front. And before you know it, it was 225s max kick, with just waving our hands around at the front of the stroke. So you have to be really explicit and say, look, it's not moving fast. It's about feeling the water. So if you have to, just put a pull buoy in or just do a very, very small leg kick. But it's not about getting to the end as quickly as you can. And that's a challenge for coaches when they're working with young swimmers, because that's sometimes all they want to do is get to the other end as quickly as they can. The second thing for me would be, again, not really related to the actual movement of sculling itself, but making sure the body position of the swimmer when they're sculling is good. Okay, and it goes hand in hand with that conversation about efficiency. So for example, if we're doing sculling on the front, if their eyes are looking forwards, then their hips are going to be low in the water, and they're going to be dragging their feet, or more likely kicking their legs a little bit harder, and then taking away the effect from the sculling. If they've got a snorkel on, their eyes are down, their hips are high in the water, they've got a pull buoy in, and their feet are nice and high in the water, then every bit of movement they get from that, every bit of propulsion they get from the scull, is going to go a lot further. So they'll find it a lot more satisfying if their body line is great when they scull. Okay, so for me, body position and sculling go hand in hand. If you do poor body position when you're sculling, then you're not going to get the most out of it. So those are two things for me: patience and body position.
Yep.
And then more now to do with actually sculling is small movements with the hands. Okay, I think sometimes when you do that kind of Superman scull and you're going out and back into like a Y shape, you get a lot of swimmers trying to do breaststroke pull. Okay, we want small movements, and really, you know, being very clear, small movements with the hands, keep your arms straight and just feel it with the hand. And then try and maintain, this is the final point, constant pressure on the water. Okay, yep. Make sure you can always feel your hands moving some water. So those are my 4: constant pressure, on the water, small movements with the hands, great body position, and be patient.
Yeah, when you say small movements with the hands, I mean, you say all the movement is from the wrists.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the only one where I'd say we'll do a little bit of movement that's not the wrist is when I do that Y-shaped breaststroke skull, focusing on setting that pull up, because that is, the arms are straight, but it is, you kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I guess it's a shoulder adduction, because you're moving the hands into that Y shape. I've probably got that wrong. It might be abduction, but I'm pretty sure it's adduction. that's the only one where I say we've got a movement at another point. But otherwise, yeah, it's wrists, small circles with the hands, and constant pressure on the water.
Yeah. Fabulous. I mean, in summary, we've touched on this sort of indirectly, but I think sculling on its own won't necessarily make a swimmer move fast. But obviously, you know, at the end of the day, it is that sculling does develop, as we've talked about, a feel for the water, and it does play a key role in the pulling action of all four strokes. So it is absolutely paramount that a swimmer can scull effectively, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's something that I do with my groups a lot. I dedicate a lot of time to sculling and feel for the water, because if it goes back to that kind of, just if you're not connected to the water, if you can't feel the water, then you don't really know what you're doing when you're swimming. So having that connection with the water, feeling it well, just helps the swimmer and the athlete know what they're doing with their body and when. And so it's part of that real kind of fundamentals that we should be doing with swimmers, and you know, that coordination, feel for the water, you know, it's part of the fundamentals. So we need to make sure we're doing it really well.
Absolutely. Well, that has been certainly a very very technical podcast, and as I say, we will produce a blog to go with this podcast, to provide visualization for coaches and parents. And thank you very much indeed, Jamie. And that's a really good bite-sized sort of but very in-depth look at the power of sculling.
When we first discussed doing this episode, I never thought I'd be able to speak for 15 minutes just about sculling. It seems like such an insignificant thing to speak about, but clearly there's a lot we've unpacked in that 15 minutes. So, you know, I've really enjoyed it. I think for me, it was actually preparing for the episode was really good, because it's just a really good reminder and a bit of revision for myself in terms of, okay, what do I need to be looking for when I'm doing a sculling block of work? So no, I've really enjoyed it, and thanks to you for setting it up, Jonathan.
Yeah, no, fabulous. It's the first podcast we've actually done together, yeah. and perhaps this means we can do some more. But
thank you to all those listening to this episode of the Poolside Pass Parent Podcast. And for more information on our podcasts and blogs, please visit our website, www.thepoolsidepass.com. Thank you.